Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, episode 181 of Your Scope program. Jared in the house, Shane in the house, Adam once again
is missing.
He's AWOL.
We've called in the special forces. We're not sure where he is.
Yeah. He just picked up. He took a knife. He walked out into the desert.
Yeah.
And
something about walkabout.
Yeah.
And wanting to slay a dingo.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to find it in the wilds of Minnesota, but
how many Taliban would we have to trade for him?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, we don't want to leave any Americans behind.
I think the Taliban would be like, you can have him.
Yeah.
He's really not worth much.
Yeah.
He's not a high priority target for
us. Yeah. He's very uninterested in anything we have to say. And frankly, we think we can do better.
Yeah,
so
he's sort of dismissive of everything that we're doing. We offer him food. He just doesn't. He's not really into much of anything.
I think the State Department would want to actually maybe empty Guantanamo to get him back, just because they're tired of paying for Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Not because Adam has any intrinsic value in the trade market.
No. And the Taliban would be like, we don't even, he's asking for Minecraft or Warcraft, World of Warcraft stuff.
Yeah.
We can't help him. We got
all he wants is mashups and remixes of popular songs to listen to. We can't help him there because we've really only got this one Bee Gees cassette.
They love the Bee Gees. That's a known fact. I'm writing that down. The Taliban loves the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Night to Broadway. Can't help it. It's infectious. Gets in your brain. It's
everywhere across the world, living it up on the Night to Broadway. Jared, today we have an interesting show.
We do.
We are talking to a online toy vendor who vends... Is that how you use it? He vends classic vintage toys.
Yes. And he exists only on the internet.
Yeah.
He's not a real physical person. True fact.
He's like a robot.
Yeah, he's a robot.
Yep. It's sort of sad.
In cyberspace.
It's sort of sad now, Jared, that the toys that you and I played with are considered vintage. And in some cases...
Well, yeah.
In some cases, they're older than vintage.
Where does vintage start?
I don't... For people nowadays, like people that matter, probably the kids in the 20s and 30s, or kids... of the age of in the 20s and 30s, vintage is probably early 90s.
I know.
And I didn't really play with toys in the early 90s.
Damn millennials.
I know. They're ruining everything. So yes, we're talking to Gino from Nerd Rage Toys. It's a guy that knows his business. He's a lot of fun to talk to, and he strikes a good deal for people of
I plan interest. To get rich.
So there we go. Very, very exciting show. So, and it's going to be Jared and me, no Adam. So, Jared, let's stop with all this talking because
it's tomfoolery.
People want to know what's going on in the world of vintage toys. So, we'll take a quick break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll come back with Gino from Nerd Rage Toys, and we'll put him through his paces. So, please, everybody, stick around. More Scope coming right after this.
This is the FUM.
There's an app for that. Download them for $1 in nothing flat. Whatever you need, you know it's guaranteed. There's an app for that. There's an app for that.
Joker, Black Mask, and the Penguin. Batman Arkham Origins. Oh, hey, look, prequel time again. It's not exactly Batman Begins. Joker, Black Mask, and the Penguin. Batman Arkham Origins.
What to see, do you suppose?
Hell, babe's taking off their clothes.
I want to see some of those.
Let's watch ladies decompose.
They're swinging music playing. They're stripping and decaying. If you know what I'm saying, it seems burlesque.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com. THEFUMP.com.
Police, you're all under molest.
Boy.
Hey, everybody, it's Jared and Shane with The Scope. We are talking to Gino from Nerd Rage Toys. Everybody knows I'm a big fan of toys, and they look down on me because I'm probably too old for that, right, Jared?
Constantly.
Constantly, yeah. Gino's a guy that he runs an online joint called Nerd Rage Toys. I've full disclosure, I've done business with him. I've purchased from him. I've sold to him. I find him and Nerd Rage Toys to be a really fair, cool place. They cover a lot of toys that would be of interest to me because I was a child of the 80s, and Gino covers a lot of that. He also covers a lot of 90s toys and new toys. Gino, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's very, very exciting to have you. Jared, we've been trying to make this happen for months now, but with the scope, there's so much breaking news. There's so much stuff that we have to cover what the world dishes out to us. So whether it's the issues in Ukraine or a tree falling on my house, we will talk about that.
Honestly, we just wanted to wait for a week when Adam wasn't here.
Yeah. Yeah, Gino, we normally have a third guy here, Adam. Most of the time he shows up, but for whatever reason, he's not here today. And we did not want him to assault you in terrible ways because he treats our guests terribly. So
that's fine. I'm used to it.
So why don't you tell me about how you kind of got into the toy selling business? Give me a little bit of your background and how Nerd Rage Toys started out.
Sure. Probably for the last decade or so, I've been real big into collecting, buying big lots, piecing together my collection, reselling them on eBay and whatnot. And eventually I just got sick of having a boss, and I said, you know, let's try to get this into a business and make it profitable.
So it
all worked out.
Is this your only job? Or do you have a day job, or is this...
No, wow. I took on this full-time last year, last October, and it's been doing very well since.
Great. Hey, Jared, I need to pause for 1 second. I'm sorry. I'm getting an emergency call.
Okay.
Sorry, Gino.
That's all right.
Hey.
If I want to step away, I can hear it.
Doing the show right now. Yeah. Nope. Got a few hours. Okay, bye-bye. No, it is not. Okay, bye-bye.
I thank you for having the courtesy to do that near the beginning, so it's much easier for me to find the
Why don't we
point.
Just keep that? We'll just keep it right in the show.
Yeah, it's
sometimes
great.
My wife calls and demands to know where I'm at.
She doesn't know where you are.
I understand.
She has no idea. She goes, I thought that was tomorrow. So there you go. Anyways.
I'm waiting for mine to walk in the door any time and scream at me, so
well, I
we
think,
might be so, interrupted.
So
our love of toys and abusive wives, another thing that bonds us together. I love it.
Exactly.
So so you were saying you started doing this full-time about a year ago.
Yep.
And it's got to be satisfying sort of following something that, you know, obviously it's something that's important and almost like a dream. I mean, for me to run my own toy business as my only source of income and kind of doing it my way would be a lot of fun, I would think.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, being able to do things the way you want, not having somebody over you that is stupid, telling you how to do things wrong. You have full control and you can do anything. You know, I can go to the beach on a Thursday at noon, or I can sleep until 1 and I got no one telling me I'm doing the wrong thing.
So did you have, when you started this out, did you talk to other people that did this, or did you kind of have to learn on your own, you know, the pitfalls and the stuff that could get you into trouble when you're starting your own business?
Oh, it was a very big learning experience. But, you know, as a collector myself, I've done the trials and tribulations of buying, selling, getting ripped off, you know, knowing what buyers want when it comes to toys and stuff. But the business aspect and the technical aspect of getting a website that works and designing it for ease of use and all that, that was a lot of trial and error and reading a lot of books on how to do all that.
So did you design the site yourself, or did you hire out to do someone? I'm just curious.
No, I actually designed it all myself.
Nice.
The only thing that I haven't done on there was the back-end software for, you know, the shopping cart and everything. That is beyond my technical expertise.
I'm pulling up your website right now. I'm going to judge you.
Sure.
Both,
I'm
kidding.
It.
Both Jared and I sort of, it's interesting. We do exactly what you did with your website. So we have vested interest to make sure that everything is great. So
yeah, you know, it's trial and error.
Yeah.
Getting it all going.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about building websites is anybody can do it. It's just figuring out what's best for your customer and making sure that things run smoothly. So,
yeah.
So when you started out, I don't know, you've been doing this for a few years. What's different from when you started to now? Like, what are some of the things that you've learned that maybe painfully, some lessons that you've learned over the time from beginning to current day?
Oh, the shipping issues.
Yeah.
Those can make or break you. And getting like a real accurate shipping calculator, making sure all that stuff is taken care of, that was a big part of getting everything set up. Because
sure,
you know, if I charge someone $5 for shipping by accident and it cost me $35 to ship it, and they only bought a $50 item,
yeah, there goes your profit.
You know, that'll put you right in the pits right there. So getting all that going, basically just the whole design of the website. I don't know how far back you guys have been visiting my site, but when I first started, it was basically just a blog roll. Like, you couldn't even tell that there was anything for sale on there because, you know, I had no idea how to get everything in order.
Sure.
So I kind of just dove into the deep end, opened it up, and then went and designed it as I went.
Well, I've been looking at it since about 3 minutes ago, and not much has changed, so you might want to get
pretty stable now.
Yeah, I think I remember the concept of Nerd Rage Toys. It was mentioned like in some G.I. Joe websites or something, like you partnered with them or something like that. That's when I first remember it, and I went and checked it out. So
yeah, no, I was big in the forum community for a long time. So once I first started out, you know, I did have a lot of help getting my name out there, which was good. So
how did you come up with the name Nerd Rage Toys? What's the origin of that?
That actually spawned when G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra came out.
Yes.
I was big into G.I. Joe's right on the tail end of the 25th anniversary line and all that stuff. And I was big in the forums, and once they started releasing the first look at the Rise of Cobra, the way the figures look, the way the characters look, it was like the apocalypse for G.I. Joe.
That's how we felt. Right.
And, what do you mean? You didn't like the Cobra Commander design? I mean, give me a break.
Oh, man.
You don't love speed suits? Come on.
Everybody's in the same outfit. Everybody looks the same. There's no distinction between the characters like the original, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's when I started seeing the name pop up, Nerd Rage, a lot. Oh, everybody had the Nerd Rage, and I was like, wow, Nerd Rage Toys. Maybe I'll name a store that one day.
Maybe that's going to be our true apocalypse scenario. It's not going to be some sort of virus or zombieism. It's just going to be Nerd Rage infecting people across the country.
Yeah, exactly.
Eventually it gets everyone. So you talk about, I mean, you do a lot of business with, you buy, you know, you'll get new toys and resell them, obviously, but the majority of your business is vintage stuff. How do you get all of this stuff? Because I want to steal that idea and build my own store called Geek Rage Toys, and I need to know all of your secrets.
Yeah, you know, I just try to go down every avenue I can. eBay's a huge help. You know, I have people that contact me that want to sell me stuff. I'm actively looking for things. You know, I do conventions and whatnot, and I'll have people approach me saying, hey, I got a room of old junk that I want to sell you. And, you know, go check it out. And if it's good, it's good. If not, whatever.
Do you do garage sales and estate sales, or is that is that tougher?
I haven't had luck with garage sales for probably 15 years.
Sure.
Now. You know, once I was a young teen, that's when all the 80s and 70s kids were moving out of the house.
Yep.
And people like my age were getting into high school and don't want the girls to know we play with toys. So you could go to a garage sale and just score some awesome stuff. But now it's like you get baby toys and cribs and stuff. And
everybody seems to know that, you know, that's a way to do it. So even if people are selling that stuff in garage sales, they're usually gone before people like us could get to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've done some garage sailing, and usually all I find are Nintendo games and some old junk figures, if anything. That's about it.
So, quick question about, like, so if you have come across an estate or something that has a bunch of stuff, and there happens to be maybe a toy line that you're unfamiliar with, are you like Pawn Stars, where you have, like, a team of experts that can come in at a moment's notice to appraise them?
I do have a couple people that I can refer to if need be, but
Shane, you think I'm cracking jokes, but I'm asking hard-hitting questions.
I think
here.
You're cracking jokes, but
well,
no, basically, it's funny you guys say that, because whenever I go out to buy somebody stuff, it's always the Pawn Stars feel where they expect me to be like, well, there's not a big customer base for this, so I can only give you $5.
Are they ever like, I looked this up and it sold at auction for X amount of dollars?
I did. I did a free comic book day convention a couple weeks ago, whenever that was. And I had one figure that was priced at $200, basically $50 cheaper than what it sells for on eBay, just trying to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I had one guy come up to me and he's like, I watch Toy Hunters, so I know what that figure's worth. I know what it should sell for. I'm not paying for that. So you get a lot of that now that those shows are mainstream and everybody...
People are too informed.
Know. Let's talk about Toy Hunters for a second. Is that show not a joke or what?
You know, I watch it just to see the locations, just to see where he goes. I mean, when he go to, what was that, like Lee's Toy Review magazine warehouse he went to, you know, you don't get to see that kind of stuff. You know, other than just looking at pictures on the internet. But yeah, I mean, it's all scripted.
It's all,
those shows are scripted.
It's fun to see, you know, the stuff that they pull up and it's like, wow, you know, on a cable television show, you can see someone talking seriously about Silverhawks action figures or something. You know, that's kind of cool to see. It's interesting with that show that you can get these odd toy lines that get coverage. That mean something to you or me, but my wife will see it and doesn't really care. So it's kind of fun to see that on TV. But the fact of the matter is, it's a very, very limited range for the viewership. I think in terms of
it's a total niche viewer for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know what the ratings demographic is on that show, but you know, it's not for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's for us. So hey, why not? Cable TV is so segmented anyway that maybe it's enough. So.
Yeah.
We've talked about how you get the toys. We talked about your business. You talked about some of the pitfalls. But I'm curious about the worst customer you've ever had or worst customer experience. You talk about people ripping you off. Has that happened a lot with Nerd Rage Toys, or is that more like
On the website itself, I've only really had one problem with anybody, and that was when I first started off. Everything else that I've ever dealt with is on eBay. eBay reminds me of when Obi-Wan starts talking about Mos Eisley, and he says it's the wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Yes.
I mean, that sums up eBay in a nutshell.
We must be cautious.
Very nice, Jared. What about you, Jared? Have you ever had any bad... You do a lot of eBay work. I buy rarely from eBay, so I really haven't had an issue with someone screwing me over. What about you?
Nothing toy-related, but I have had a couple of things where I've had to contact the seller and try to get some... recompense or have them fix it. Like I bought a used computer a few years back and it arrived at my door completely smashed.
Really?
Yeah. So that was fun.
Everything I've ever had problems with on eBay is either Transformers or any kind of electronics.
There you go.
Recently I was selling the 25th anniversary Optimus Prime figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one guy, he bought it. And then after he paid for it, claimed that I changed the shipping cost on him somehow after he already paid, and then he filed this claim, and it got all hairy like before I even shipped out the package, luckily.
Wow.
So I was able to get it all canceled, and then once I relisted it, within 5 minutes another name from the same exact address bought it again and issued a chargeback on his credit card immediately.
Really?
Which luckily PayPal notifies you of. So he bought it and then charged back, and then PayPal took the money away from me. And it was just like another battle trying to get that all situated out. And it's stuff like that.
A psychopathic a-hole. There you go.
Exactly. You know, eBay started out really decent to sell with after a couple of years of getting everything sorted out. But now they basically take someone's yard sale and force you to adhere to big box customer service standards.
Sure.
You know, like you could sell a teacup on there and they force you to have like a 40-day money back guarantee on it, and you know, it just gets a little crazy sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips? I happen to have boxes full of carded action figures that I collected during our stint at Toys R Us back in the 90s. Are there any tips on how to actually sell those on eBay successfully? Or should I not even bother?
If it's like Power of the Force 2 figures, you probably should just grind those up and make your own paper out of them, you know?
Okay.
Something.
Jared and I could have an entire show with you on it. We could just tell you about our Toys R Us days, because that's actually how we met.
Well, I think what we would do is we would probably just take out our toys we want to sell and have you appraise them. And then
I worked at Toys R Us myself, so I know
how
it is there.
Did you work security? Because that was my favorite.
No, I never worked security. I was in charge of electronics.
Okay. Well,
that was a lot of fun.
The good old days. So any tips for poor Jared? What do you got, Jared? You've got tons of X-Men action figures. You've got Power Rangers.
I've got a lot of garbage, but I think I have probably some gems. I do have some like original Power Rangers, you know, in the triangle boxes.
The Power Rangers are huge right now.
Yeah, I need to sell those.
There's talk of a new movie. There's they just put out all the new DVD box sets and everything.
Nice.
So that's a good time to sell those. X-Men, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be able to put them together in a huge lot, and depending on how many you get, probably a buck or two a figure out of them.
Yeah, that's sort of the decision I have to make is like, do I sell these individually or do I sell them in lots? So
yeah, that's the tough thing about those lines is those are more of like a just a keepsake for nostalgia's sake, you know?
Sure.
Resale's not very great.
Jared may have that X-Men figure hanging up right to your right behind you, as a matter of fact.
I can't tell.
There's a glare on it.
What do we got? We got random.
Oh, it's random. God.
Random.
I don't know if I have that one.
All random does is make waves in the Marvel Universe even today, Jared.
Yeah, everybody knows about him. that's why he's still up on my peg right there.
So, Jared, you're going to be doing a lot of Power Rangers selling. It's interesting how Power Rangers, he bought them at the height of their popularity,
yes.
And then you have to wait 20 years for them to come back.
I put them in a box, and now I could reap the benefits. Maybe.
Yeah, no, we'll see.
If you want to get rid of your Power Rangers, give me a call.
I do have it might be a sort of a limited piece. I have like the black and gold Megazord.
Yes. You know, I've always wanted to get my hands on that for my personal collection.
Oh, so we might have to have a little conversation.
Might have a fire.
And I also have a Dragonzord. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting because when Jared and I, you know, we met in the early 90s, but, you know, and I think you can relate to this, you know, is the fact that at that time, everybody was savvy enough to think, you know, if I do some collecting, this stuff is going to be worth a lot, you know. So everybody had a lot of this stuff in package. You know, you're talking about the Power of the Force. You know, even if we would have been collecting 5 to 10 years prior to that, that's when you probably could have made a lot of money by keeping things in package. But, you know, in those days, you know, when you were a kid or when I was a teenager, you know, people played with their toys. They just keep it in the box. It really wasn't a thing, so...
I don't know what you're talking about, Shane. I know those 98-cent Cadillacs and dinosaur figures I bought are going to pay off one day.
Yeah, the mid-90s really changed collecting altogether just because of the introduction of eBay.
Sure.
I mean, before that, it was like you get in a phone book and you look up all the secondhand stores in your area and hope that you have enough gas or your mom will drive you around to all of them one day, and you might be able to pick up some good stuff here and there. You know, eBay comes around, and now you have the availability of anything you ever wanted from anywhere in the world. And, you know, that was like the boom with Beanie Babies and stuff.
Sure.
Was people in other countries couldn't get them. They were more scarce in one city than the next. So you had this huge boom of everything, and you saw all the vintage figures going. I remember watching the original, like 1977 Star Wars on eBay, go for upwards of $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 during like 96, 97. So then Power of the Force 2 comes out and it's, you know, people are fighting in the aisles to get that stuff.
They certainly were.
Yeah, we were helping them fight.
Yeah, so I was there. I remember going, trying to get real early in the morning, trying to get the Leia, which looked like a dog, you know. That was hard to get back then, and now you can't give it away.
Yeah. Princess Leia, C-3PO, oh yes.
Exactly.
What about a long saber Luke Skywalker?
Oh, yeah, you get the long saber with the short saber card.
That's like the weird, like, in transitional one that's kind of the rarest one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean...
And it's still only worth $1.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Dang it, economies of scale, I hate them.
If you're lucky. So why don't we, let's take this away from commerce and let's talk about nostalgia, because that's what I do business in.
Sure.
Tell me about your first toy memory. Like, what do you remember? Maybe the first toy that kind of got you interested in this whole world? Because I have a very specific memory, and I'll let you think about what yours is, and I'll talk about mine first because I'm a very egocentric kind of guy.
Sure.
But you know, you said you were born in 83. So I was born in 74. And all of my first memories, with the exception of being about a year and a half, 2 years old, and being in a tornado, for some reason I remember that, but all my memories were Star Wars related. It's just because it was such a huge thing back in those days. Mm-hmm. And I remember this had to be like 1978 because I don't think the Star Wars figures were that available, if they were at all, in the 70s or late 77.
No, well, they had the Christmas pack where you could buy the thing for Christmas and then mail away and get your figures delivered in the next year.
You get the early version.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, that was well beyond a three-year-old at that time. But I remember my mom taking me and my cousin to Target, which you're out in Maine, right?
Yep.
So I don't know how much of a presence Target has out there, but Target's always been a presence here in Minnesota, you know, just because it's a Minnesota company. It's just always been around. So a lot of my memories revolve around being in the Target toy lanes. But going, and at the time, like the house, like the home improvement stuff was right next to the toy aisle. So I remember walking through the paint aisle. And they had Glidden paint cans. And at those times, the cans were like a metallic colored. So you'd have like metallic, the can itself would have like a metallic purple or metallic blue or metallic green. And I remember those cans. And then walking over to the next aisle and just seeing Star Wars action figures from floor to ceiling, at least at a three-year-old, that's what it looked like. And they used to peg things differently back in those days, too. Especially like in our early days at Toys R Us, you'd have pegs of figures so high that even a 6 foot tall person would have trouble getting them. But I remember having the pick of the litter, and I picked R2-D2 as my first action figure. My cousin picked Darth Vader. And then from there, we went off to, I don't know why, but pretty close to that same day or the next day, we went off to LaBelle's. And I don't know if you had them there, but it was like a catalog store, like service merchandise, where you'd go in and half the merchandise would be in the back. So you'd go and you'd fill out a form. And
Everything was behind glass or something that you wanted to see.
And then you'd wait at this little like counter, and there's this conveyor belt that would just, it would come out. And so we went to that place, and we both got a land speeder. Which is odd because R2-D2 can't really drive it. And
he just hangs out on the back.
And Darth Vader would never be in a land speeder. But that right there, that was sort of the moment that solidified my... I don't even think I saw the Star Wars movie at that point. I think I saw it shortly after that. But from there, my life was about Star Wars. It was about toys. It was about comic books and any sort of geeky, nerdy thing. And it's for being like 3 years old or 2.5, I think that's a pretty powerful image.
Yeah.
So what about you?
You know, it's funny when you presented me with that question, because I'd been doing a lot of searching a couple of months ago, trying to put together a collection of all the oddball things I had as a kid.
Yeah.
And one of the things I remember the most vividly, I couldn't have been any more than 1 year old or so, it was the GoBots Rogun. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I know GoBots, but I don't know what a Rogun is.
Actually, I got it right here.
Oh, yes, I remember that thing.
And he transforms into a double-barreled shotgun that shoots caps. Perfect for a one-year-old. and he's got this nice little handle that's placed really oddly. One of those kind of obscure things you'd get a kid. But I remember this vividly, my mom buying me the caps for it and shooting it off and everything.
Yeah.
So that was one of those things I had to pick up for my oddball collection.
Yeah. So what about you, Jared? Do you have a toy memory?
I'm like you. I was all about Star Wars early on. I didn't get a lot of first movie Star Wars toys, though. A lot of my toy memories are Empire Strikes Back bait.
Sure.
One of my favorites was Han Solo in the Hoth outfit.
Sure.
And I have a very distinct memory of having it up at my grandma's house in winter, and we were playing it with it out in the snow, and for some reason, I lost it. He was gone. He was just washed away in the snows of Hoth.
Searching for wampas.
And I recall the next spring, we found it in the yard, all chewed up. The dogs had gotten to it, and poor Han Solo didn't fare too well.
That figure was kind of cool because he actually had sort of that quasi-working holster.
Yeah.
Where you could sort of stick the gun into it, not really into it, but it was just sort of sitting on the side.
Yeah, I don't think that was...
kind of sit on top of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it wasn't meant for that, I'm sure, but it worked.
That's what you did.
That was pretty cool. And I can recall that we lost a number of Yodas playing with them out in the dirt.
Yeah, I remember seeing Yoda in the store for the first time, and that was a very big deal. Because I don't think he came out in the first wave of those figures. So to see this tiny little Yoda character was, 1981 or whenever it was pretty cool.
There was a mail-away accessory pack you could get that had backpacks and stuff like that. And I remember mailing away for it, and I never got it.
Oh, I remember...
That was disappointing.
I remember getting it. It had, like, you could have, like, a Hoth backpacks, and you could have, like, the grappling hook to the AT-AT.
Yep.
They had that. Yeah, that was a cool thing. Sorry, Jared.
That's all right. So, and a little sidebar as far as my Star Wars collecting. So, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness, as listeners of the show know. Not currently, haven't been for many, many years. But as a child, I was part of it. And so, as a consequence of that, I was not allowed to have any bad guys. So it was all good guy Star Wars figures for me. No Darth Vaders, no Stormtroopers, nothing like that.
The coolest looking ones you couldn't have. What about Boba Fett? Could you swing him as maybe just a questionable?
Nope. Never got one.
Wow.
There was a time.
Boba Fett. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. There was a time we actually did it. My brother and I made a trade. My brother's a year younger than me. We made a trade with some neighbor kids, and we got like a Darth Vader and I don't know, maybe we got a Boba Fett out of the deal. But as soon as my dad saw that, he made us go and take that trade back because we weren't supposed to have any bad guys.
And now your house is full of Boba Fett action figures.
Yeah, it's wall to wall. I got to kick him out of the way when I get out of bed. It's a sickness. I'm asking for help. Help.
He is.
Help me.
So let's talk about your favorite toy line ever, Gino.
Sure.
There's a billion you could be looking at. Tiger Sharks, I'm sure. Everybody loves Tiger Sharks.
Yeah, if you could find the one figure that they produced of that.
But, you know, my guess is your favorite line probably will not be vintage Star Wars, but it's got to be something from your childhood, I would assume.
You know, vintage Star Wars was my gateway drug into collecting, but my all-time hands down is Ninja Turtles.
Ah.
I got a couple first series carded ones. You might be interested.
Yeah.
Me too.
The Ninja Turtles, I mean, if you really take them and look at them, the detail that went into the actual sculpts of those, you know, that stuff goes unnoticed as a kid, but now that you're older and you look at that kind of stuff, some of those figures had some amazing detail.
Yeah.
And you got, that was one of like the last lines where you really got the big giant play sets, the big giant vehicles that weren't absolute garbage. It wasn't like a piece of cardboard or just a big hunk of junk. I mean, moving parts, solid working vehicles that did all kinds of cool stuff. You know, I had real good memories of that. And luckily, most of all my Ninja Turtles I had as a kid made it through to my adult life. So
you
still have them all.
You weren't an idiot like me where the first year of my junior high life, I decided I was going to sell all of my Transformers, all of my masks, all of my G.I. Joes in 1 year for garage sale. And then the next year I sold all of my Star Wars.
No, I did a similar thing.
I hate
when
myself
I was
for that.
19, I broke up with a serious girlfriend and went into a funk, and I threw away a lot of toys. So I know how that is.
You and I have very
in the dumpster.
Shane, you and I have very parallel lives in this respect because there was a phase I must have been 13 or 14 where I was still into G.I. Joe heavy, and then I just decided, yeah, I should be done with this. And I just we had a garage sale, and I had a big old display because I still had all the cards. So I like put the figures and all their accessories in the Ziploc bags,
even more than
and
me.
Like recarded them and put them up, and I sold a ton of them there. But made a lot of money,
and you probably maybe sold them a dollar a figure or something
like
that.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Maybe less than that. But I mean, in those days, you know, you make $100. $100 is like $500 today, so that's a lot of money for a kid.
I did go through in the late 90s, and I went through a kind of a period where I was kind of binge buying classic G.I. Joe figures again.
Yeah.
So I have a box full of those somewhere. But, you know, I wouldn't have had to do that if I just kept it all.
Yes.
Dummy.
So are you saying, Jared, that G.I. Joe is your favorite toy line?
You know, it might be.
Yeah.
There's the big three for me. There's Star Wars, there's Transformers, and there's G.I. Joe. And I was really into Transformers for a few years, but I didn't stick with it for a long time. G.I. Joe was definitely the one where I was into it for a number of years, and it hit me at a time where I had like a paper route. So I had money, my own money to spend on it. So I had a lot of figures. I had a lot of toys or a lot
like
of vehicles.
$1.50 a figure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was a time where like, you know, like the third or fourth series would be out, but sometimes you can hit like a Montgomery Ward's and they'd still have some second series figures. So I had a pretty good collection of G.I. Joe figures. That's probably my number one toy line.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that question long and hard, and it's for me, it kind of goes in waves. I mean, it starts with Star Wars, but it's interesting because vintage Star Wars does not, like, from a nostalgia standpoint, doesn't resonate with me. Like, the next thing which caught my attention was G.I. Joe. I mean, I was into G.I. Joe for a number of years, and I have, like Gino, I was definitely into the 25th anniversary line where I've got all those, and I'd rather have those than the, you know, than their earlier counterparts. I just think they look cooler. But then from then there was a couple different smaller toy lines that really got my attention. I was big into Voltron. I was sort of that Japanese anime influx of stuff. I loved Voltron figures, but they were really, really expensive, you know, especially the good ones, not the panache, nice panache place.
One.
Yeah, I didn't like those. Yeah. Back in those days, it was hard to create a action figure of an anime type of character. Just the sculpting wasn't there. They didn't really understand, you know, toy companies didn't really understand how to capture that. And then I was really into Mask, which I've actually purchased Mask stuff from you in the past. I just love the idea of these small little figures with these cool cars and vehicles that turn into other things. You know, you talk about good sculpting. I think that the Mask toys, in terms of quality, really hold up pretty well.
Yeah, they were definitely premium quality.
Yes, I love those things.
I liked Mask quite a bit. I watched the cartoon a lot. But I only ever got, like, the Condor, the little green motorcycle. Yep. That's the only toy. I've since gotten a couple more. But, you know, when they were in their prime, that's the only one I got for whatever reason. Yep. I don't know. They didn't have a lot.
That's the most iconic one.
Yeah.
Probably. Whenever you think about it, it's always the little green Condor.
And it was always the cheapest one, too.
It was affordable to get.
Yeah. And we didn't have a lot of money. So maybe that's why I only got that toy.
And then the last toy line, which sort of dovetails into my favorite nostalgia thing ever growing up, was the Robotech line from Matchbox. Now, I hated the action figures. Because, you know, those were worse than the Panache Place ones. But, they licensed a bunch of the Transforming Robots, which is interesting because Hasbro got the rights to do Jetfire, which was,
the whole lawsuit over that.
So, it was a whole mess. But when I was younger in sixth grade, I'll hold this up right here. I got Matchbox did, like, these super deformed versions of them. So I remember wanting this toy for Christmas. Can you see this, Jared? He's adjusting. Oh, thank you very much. So there we go. I played with this thing like crazy. And my a good friend of mine had, you know, there's a couple other versions of this. So he had one and we would sit around and play Robotech all the time. I really like that because it's pretty much an exact replica of the Transformer one, except smaller and affordable. That tied into the cartoon. I mean, they had a lot of cartoon stuff. And since the cartoon had three different generations, you had toys that sort of spanned all three of those cartoons, so they could be a lot different in design. The problem with these is they were very, very expensive, especially the bigger robots like the SDF-1 and the Alpha Fighter. And it took me, I think I bought one of the Alpha Fighters from a former coworker of ours from Toys R Us, and I think even in the late 90s, I paid $75 for that, which was a lot of money back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, since then, they've released a lot of not vintage style Robotech, but realistic masterpiece like they did the Transformers, like the tall ones that were very cartoon realistic and stuff like that. But I have a lot of very positive memories about Robotech and that toy line. And then soon after that, I stopped playing with toys for a number of years until I started working at Toys R Us. So there you go.
And you started playing with them again.
And I started playing with them. Yeah, if I never would have started working at Toys R Us, I probably would not be sitting here having this conversation with you, Gino, and even have a friendship with Jared because it was strange. Even when I first got into there, I didn't even start collecting toys for a number of years. I think it took the Star Wars line, like, oh my God, this is really, really cool. And then Star Wars sort of dovetailed into X-Men and some of these other things that I really liked.
So you missed out on the whole terrible first series of X-Men figures.
Well, I have all those.
The first series? They're garbage.
Yeah, they're not good. we actually might have a question about that later. All right. So there we go. So before we let you go, Gino, I've been threatening you with this for months. We do something here called the Nerd Degree.
Oh, boy.
Can you tell the difference between Wookiees and Klingons?
Yes, you can. I know you can, Gino.
I hope so.
Do you still live in your parents' basement after 33 years, and you like it?
We recorded this bit when being a nerd was less cool, by the way.
Windows and Linux in a dual boot configuration without breaking a sweat?
Is that so current,
Jared?
We'll
find out how big of a geek you are when we give you the Nerd Degree.
We're very current when we have Perry Mason music. I mean, you may not...
How can you forget Perry Mason?
Well, you'd be amazed. So we're calling this the Nerd Degree Retro Toy Edition. I've got 10 questions for you, which I'm just going to warn you ahead of time. It's a little, maybe a little bit more 80s than 90s. I should have thought of that, but you know, you're in the business.
I'll do my best.
So you should know the majority of these questions. Some of these things you still sell, so let's get with it. So this is a sort of a trick question, because you don't do a lot of girl toys at Nerd Rage Toys.
No, not too many.
But we got a couple of girl related questions.
Sure.
Whose signature was found on the backside of Cabbage Patch dolls?
Oh boy.
The creator of Cabbage Patch.
I don't know the name. I remember seeing that, the little decree on the back of there that gives you the origin story of the Cabbage Patch, but I don't remember the signature.
Jared, can you answer that question?
I believe it's Xavier Roberts.
That is correct.
Thank you.
All right.
Not that we're competing, but
okay, Gino.
That one I do remember.
This is one you may know.
Okay.
Kenner Toys, creator of the famous Star Wars toy line, you might have heard of it.
Sure.
Was originally owned by what huge food-producing company?
Oh. Oh.
Wow. I had no idea they were even owned by a food company.
And that's a Minnesota connection, believe it or not. We love Minnesota here because, you know, we're into our own thing. But yes, they were owned by a...
You're already buzzing. I'll take the buzzer on that one.
The answer is General Mills. General Mills owned Kenner for a while, and then they eventually sold to Hasbro.
Makes a lot of sense, since most of their mail-aways were from General Mills cereal.
There you go. It all ties together.
That made no sense to me as a kid. Why is there a General Mills logo on this packaging for a Star Wars toy?
There it was.
I don't get it.
Okay, here's one. If you don't know, I'm turning off your Skype account right now.
Okay.
And this ties into probably the biggest movie in the country right now, Transformers, which is terrible, by the way. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I've been reluctant to watch your review. I haven't seen the movie yet.
Oh, it's devastating. Our review is great. You've got to check that out. Check it out on YouTube.
It's on track for over 100 million this weekend. So
our review,
reviews be damned.
I thought our review, people are going to be watching our review. 100 million views. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
New YouTube superstars.
Gino, counting Grimlock, there were 5 original Dinobots. Name 3 others. I'm not going to make you name the other 4, but if you can name 3 out of 4, you're in business.
Jeez. Now you put me on the spot. there was the Pterodactyl. There was the Triceratops.
Yeah.
Jeez. There was the Stegosaurus. I can't remember their names now that you put me on the spot.
Okay, you're out of We're shutting your business down, Gino.
Shut off my feed.
Okay, they're all S. They're all S names. Jared, do you want to give it a shot?
I know there's Swoop.
Swoop is one.
Swoop.
Yes.
There's Snarl.
Snarl is one.
Snarl.
Is there a Slag?
Yes, there's a Slag.
The fourth one's an S as well?
Yes.
Ooh, that one I don't know.
Sludge.
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 I thought there was only 3 initially, and then they added 2 more, but
it
doesn't matter.
You know what?
Doesn't matter.
I think that Swoop was added.
Okay.
But whatever.
I'm impressed I remember those.
Who cares? Who cares? This is devastating, Gino. This is devastating.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that I'm not even pretending that you're going to get this right, but we're going to try anyway. In the 3¾ G.I. Joe toy line, what was the first mail-away figure?
First mail-away, I believe, was Cobra Commander or Duke. I think it was Cobra Commander that came before Duke.
I don't know. Those are our armed forces coming in to take you up, by the way.
But I think that Major Blood was mail away as well when he first came out.
You're thinking hard. I like your thought process. You got to pick one, though.
I'll go with Cobra Commander. Probably wrong.
Jared?
I don't know, actually.
Give him a correct ding. It's correct.
Wow!
The Battle Masks Cobra Commander was first. I believe Duke was second.
Yeah.
I remember getting Duke. I think it was like 1983. I got the helicopter. What was that called? The Dragonfly helicopter.
Sure.
And they had a mail away for Duke. And at that time, the only mention of Duke was in the cartoon, like the 5-part series. So that it actually predated him being on the cartoon as a regular. So that was kind of cool.
Neat.
Here's one that you're probably not going to get right, but oh well. who is Teddy Ruxpin's sidekick? There was he had a sidekick that plugged into him that could also be interactive.
The worm.
Yep, he was a worm.
What the heck was the worm's name? There was the worm and the scientist guy.
Yep.
I can't remember the worm's name.
This is a tough one.
I don't know either.
He was orange.
Yeah, I can't write.
Orangey the worm.
Orangey the worm.
That sounds right.
If you go off of the idea of worm, his name was Grubby.
Grubby the worm.
I never had a Teddy Ruxpin. Never had one.
No.
Here's one that if you don't know, push your entire pegged wall of action figures over.
All right.
What does Mask stand for?
Mask was jeez. You put me on the spot and everything goes blank on me. It was like Mobile Armored Strike Command or something like
Correct.
That.
Command with there a K. With a K.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jared, everybody knows that Keith was the leader of the Voltron Lion Force. But who was the leader of the Voltron Vehicle Force?
Oh boy.
I'll be honest with you, I never watched that one because I could not stand the vehicle-looking robot, Voltron.
You like his pointy head?
Even though he came first, the anime version, he actually came before the cats. I couldn't stand the look of it, so I never watched it, so I'm going to take a pass on this one.
The correct answer is Jeff.
Jeff?
Jeff, yes.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Jeff is Commander Jeff.
Commander Jeff.
Okay.
Jared doesn't buy it. I'm telling you.
I don't remember that. That seems wrong, but
yeah,
that's
life. When I was a kid, I did not really like the vehicles, but as I got older, I sort of liked the idea of them.
I was fascinated with it because I saw the lion show first, and it sort of wrapped up, and then like suddenly there was this vehicle force.
Yep.
And like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah. It's a whole new Voltron.
And then
yeah,
I saw
it's funny because that actually came first, but in the States, they played the cat one first, and then you get used to that, and then... You know, it goes to form Voltron, and like 600 vehicles are coming out of nowhere, and you don't know what's happening.
And you've got cars for feet flying through space. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
And you had like, so the vehicle one was like Voltron 1, and like I think the line one was Voltron 3 or something.
Yeah. And
there was like a mystery Voltron 2 in the middle, which I only ever saw on the side of the box on the toys.
Yeah, they released them as toys. They never were released here as it was never a cartoon.
It was
here.
Weird. It was like three robots combined into one big robot with a bunch of arms.
I did research on it. I can't remember. It's called like Gaius or something like that. I don't remember.
Anyway.
But, hey, we're getting off track. We've got to see...
we're talking Voltron.
We've got to see Gino flounder here with my impossible questions.
Here we go.
It's okay.
Number 8. What was the name of the Silverhawk spaceship and who was its pilot?
Oh.
Jeez. I've actually been trying to buy this one, too.
I have seen you sell the pilot on your website.
It all goes blank when you get put on the spot here.
Tell me about it.
I can't remember the vehicle's name. I've been trying to buy it for a long time, too.
It's a cool vehicle because you can actually have five characters in each of the different cockpits. Jared, do you want to wager a guess?
I don't remember the name.
Didn't I buy you a Silverhawks for your birthday? A DVD at
one
point?
That doesn't
mean
anything.
Thanks for paying attention, Jared. the spaceship was called the Mirage.
That's it.
It was?
And the character who piloted it was a guitar-playing Silverhawk called Bluegrass.
Yeah.
He was sort of a cowboy.
Yep.
And his guitar turned into his friendly hawk companion. So there you go. Not a great cartoon, by the way. Not a great cartoon. Number 9, this is one you get. What is the only 3¾ G.I. Joe figure to not have movable leg joints?
Not have movable leg joints?
I know this one.
Mm-hmm. It's on your website.
Jeez.
Just that do a quick perfect search. I'm sure you have it categorized by movability, right?
Yeah, that's
perfect sense that I wouldn't know it then.
Yep, you should know this.
Oh, boy. I'm in trouble here. No one's going to buy from me again now.
Oh,
jeez.
They will. Well, luckily nobody listens to our show, so you're safe.
Oh, boy. I have no idea.
Jared, let's pass it over to you. You're an expert in G.I. Joe.
I'm going to guess Deep Six.
You are correct. Oh, Deep Six.
And his giant submersible suit.
Yep. I never had that.
It's not a great figure.
No, it's not. It's not.
No.
But when you're 10 years old, or when you were, for you, Gino, when you were 1 year old, it might be the best toy ever.
You can put the toy underwater, as demonstrated in the commercials.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Gino, I want you to grab that X-Men action figure behind you.
Okay.
And this is going to inspire you, because this is an X-Men Toy Biz related question.
Sure.
In the first series of Toy Biz X-Men action figures, who was the lone female and difficult to find figure released?
I believe it was Storm.
Jared?
I don't know the line that well.
Yes, it was Storm. It was Storm.
She had the black costume on.
Yep, with the little plastic.
Sounds right.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you a bonus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle question. I just thought of this right now.
Ooh.
That's someone. Since you are a big TMNT fan.
This will be his bailiwick.
Jared might know this as well. I'm going to say within the first three lines... Playmates released three TMNT figures that were from other independent comic books. Can you name those action figures?
You had Fugitoid.
Correct.
One. Usagi Yojimbo.
Correct.
Two. And the third one.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, the third one. The third one's got me puzzled there.
Jared, you want to help out?
No. Nope.
You're his lifeline.
I only knew the one.
Which one did you know?
Usagi Yojimbo.
The third one.
I think I have that one.
Was PandaCon.
Oh, that I did not know.
PandaCon.
Huh, okay.
He was, from a small little, I think it might have even been a black and white comic. Nobody cares. Everybody likes Fugitoid. Everybody likes Usagi Yojimbo. By far the most famous of the bunch. So.
The only ones that really matter.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Gino, we have run through everything. I have nothing more to offer other than you have been a fantastic guest. Nerd Rage Toys is a great website.
Don't judge me on my knowledge. Yeah.
This guy gives you good deals. He doesn't rip you off. He cares about his toys. We think he does. He doesn't know a lot about them, clearly. But
what
he does sell,
he's selling.
That's why it's so cheap.
I'll offer them to you at a fair price, though.
There we go.
For people who are looking for a fair value in toys, where can people find you?
Check me out, nerdragetoys.com. Just go to Google, type in Nerd Rage Toys. We have both a website, and if you don't trust the website, you can go to eBay. We're also on there.
There you go.
Excellent.
Very good, Jared and Gino. I'm sure you'll have much to talk about at a later date. Jared's got boxes of toys at his feet right now that he cannot...
I'm going to take inventory and get a hold of you because I have some stuff you may be interested in.
All right.
Hey, since I have no knowledge of what anything is, apparently, you could even rip me off.
That's true.
Tell me it's really rare.
I'll just come
I'll
in and
it.
Like, I saw this sold at auction for $230,000.
Yes.
What are you going to give me?
Monkey-faced Princess Leia. There we go. All right, Gino. Thank you very much. Come back on our show anytime. We talk of retro and vintage and old-school stuff, 80s and 90s all the time. So
that's good. I could talk all day about toys and movies, so
all
I'd
right.
love to come back.
Perfect. Well, we'll definitely have you. So we'll cut this off. We'll be back with more Scope right after this.
You're listening to The Scope. Under the Scope.
Hey, Scope super fans, we are
wake
back.
Up, Shane. Wake up. I know that was a long interview, but
oh my
you gotta
God.
Wake up.
Gino, we can't shut that guy up. We're back with the Scope, and more specifically, coming soon. With Adam gone,
it falls to us.
We have to take over, which this could be terrible.
Or it could be great.
Or it could be
the dawning of a new era.
Yeah, we might realize we don't need Adam. So, Jared, let's see. You're
all
taking
right.
over.
Coming soon in the world of music, out July 15th. July. Mid-July already.
It's disgusting.
Summer is whizzing by.
It's gone.
I'm okay because I don't care about summer. You have Ace Frehley, famous guitarist of Kiss, has a solo album.
Yes, he
the
does.
The title is Space Invader.
Hmm. Very, very much on the tip of popular culture, mm-hmm. Space Invader.
Morrissey, another mm-hmm. relic of the past. You might know him from the Smiths. World Peace is None of Your Business. That's the name of the album.
It's only Morrissey's business.
Richard Reed Perry. I have a note here of Arcade Fire. Is he in Arcade Fire?
Sure, why not?
These are all artists, apparently, who are associated with other bands as well. Interesting. The album is Music for Heart and Breath.
That is weird. Did you know that, Jared?
That was very weird. Wait, why am I doing Carson? I got to be, yeah.
There's Morrissey from the Smiths.
You are correct, sir.
We can do this all day long. Adam hates
I know.
Johnny Carson.
He's like, he can't look down his nose at us here. It's awesome.
Ooh. Ooh.
The band Rise Against has a new album called The Black Market.
Mm-hmm.
The Mother Hips have an album, Chronicle Man. I'm not familiar with the Mother Hips. Can you tell me anything about them?
I think the Mother Hips, I just recognize them from Rock Band.
Okay. And Trampled by Turtles, are they local?
They are local.
They are
band,
local to the Twin Cities area. Wild Animals is the album.
Wild.
What do you think about
animals.
Trampled by Turtles?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah,
it's
a little low key. For
little
me.
Too low key, sleepy. But I appreciate what they do.
People like.
I
them.
Have friends that like Trampled by Turtles, and I'm okay with that.
They've probably pre-ordered.
Probably.
Movies July 18th. Planes, Fire and Rescue.
Why they keep
sequel
doing
to Planes?
Why they keep doing spin-offs of Cars? I do not understand. Other than it's a money-making machine.
But this, and this is a Disney property. That's not a Pixar.
Yep.
Although the distinction is almost moot at this point.
Some might say it's blurry.
Yeah. Sex Tape comes out. Is that that's the one with Jason Segel and who else?
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz. And The Purge Anarchy, sequel to the surprised, I guess, horror hit from early last summer, The Purge.
They turned this around quickly.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to strike with the iron's hot.
Exactly.
DVD and Blu-ray, Shane. July 15th, we've got Clue. This is the original Clue. This is the John Cleese Clue.
This is the original Clue. A re-release in some sort. I'm sure it's some sort of anniversary or something like that.
Does it have all the endings?
They always do.
Will it randomly select one?
It's a good question.
I think we've come to the technology point where they can do that.
Sure.
On Blu-ray, maybe.
I saw Clue in the movie theater, by the way.
I did not.
And it went completely over my head. I did not get it at all.
There's a lot of adult-type humor in there. Yeah. Not necessarily like, you know, sexy-type adult, but just sophisticated. You kind of need to have some sort of worldly experiences to understand the jokes.
So I still would not understand it.
Probably not. Criterion Edition Scanners for you classic horror thriller fans.
Don't care. Next.
Under the Skin. Which one is this?
I don't know. I put it in there.
The Skin. Is this... I feel like this is... what's her name? Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
Where's my thing? Switch over. Points for me. All right.
Very nice.
Video game, Shane.
Not a lot.
Kind
it's
of
quiet.
A quiet. Kind of a quiet summer. For
video games will be quiet till August.
Yep. Week of July 13th, we have Saints Row the 4th National Treasure Edition for PS3 and Xbox 360.
Saints Row's the last couple Saints Row have been a lot of fun. Surprisingly fun.
So what makes this one special? Because this is a game that's been out.
This is one where they give you all the added extras, all the DLC. And Saints Row 4 is almost like The Matrix. So aliens come in and take over the Saints Row world, and you're sort of playing in a super-powered Matrix version of Saints Row.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
That's it for coming soon, Jane.
All right. Oh, but is it? Is it?
Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
Jared?
Yes.
It falls to you.
It does.
Hit it or miss it.
Hit it or miss it. This week, I am going to pick a hit. And that hit is the brand new album from Weird Al Yankovic entitled Mandatory Fun.
You are so predictable.
There's been a lot of online promotion for this recently. He's been releasing video game or video clips, and it's very much sort of playing off of the communist propaganda type imagery.
Gotcha.
Mandatory Fun.
Check
comes
it
out July 15th. Record stores everywhere.
Get to your record stores.
Enjoy.
Start the line.
Yes.
All right.
Under the scope.
Yes, this back half of the show is all Jared. This is the time in which we relay comments from our listeners. Jared, is there anything to relay this time around?
We had a down cycle. Not a lot of comments this time
people
around.
People are busy. It's summertime, Jared.
It is. They can't be bothered to comment on our show.
Yeah.
We did a big interview with Ron Boogie Monster Gerber, two-parter. Surely some of you had some interesting insights.
Yeah, what are you people? You insane? It was a great interview.
It was. There was some back and forth on actually in the Facebook group. On the things, but it was sort of the sort of kind of in the moment. It's not sort of comments that really play well out of context when you're reading them in
the
show.
I didn't see that. I got to look up that.
Yeah, Anne wrote some stuff, and there was someone commenting on what was popular in 84 in kind of the New England area.
Okay. I'll check that.
But out of context, it doesn't make a lot of sense, so I elected not to read them here.
Okay, well.
So it's not like it's a complete... We're not devoid of comments. I just did not select any for mass consumption.
Fair enough.
There you go.
So if people do want to comment, Jared, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to get out their stationery and their finest pen, and they need to write it down on a piece of paper. And they need to put it in a fancy envelope and seal it with a wax seal.
I was going
to
say wax seal.
Yeah. That's how you know that's a mark of quality.
It's so you know it's not tampered with.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
The NSA.
Look, if you're a king and you're writing decrees, you can't have them... If they're going to pass through messenger's hands... You need some sort of way to mark their authenticity and know that they've not been tampered with.
Exactly.
And that's where the wax seal comes into place. It's too bad we don't have a P.O. box, so you're just going to have to sit on that letter until we do. Like a little time capsule of your correspondence to us. If you're not interested in that sort of communication, you can email us, comments@thescopeshow.com. You can call our voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Yes.
You can also reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. All those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, you can comment right below, right down there.
And you can also find Adam on Grindr.
Yes. He's on Grindr. As you know, he's gone missing.
He's gone
rogue.
You
can only assume that he had a roster of Grindr contacts that he was going to hook up with while he was away.
I'm
you can only assume. I mean, I don't want to say that he's doing that, but all evidence to the contrary doesn't exist, so we have to go with the worst assumptions. I feel like what we do here, you can support us financially by signing up with Patreon. Patreon is the service that allows you to support content creators directly. You can sign up for as little as $1 an episode. You can set a monthly cap, and you can cancel anytime.
Anytime.
Patreon.com/TheScopeShow. Again, all those links at TheScopeShow.com website. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Jared. I want to thank Gino from Nerd Rage Toys. He did a great job.
Good times.
Check out his if you're interested in any sort of retro toy or new toys. He does do new toys as well. Make sure you go to Nerd Rage Toys first. If you want to buy any of Jared's Power Ranger collection, any of his X-Men collection, you know where to find him.
I've got Ninja Turtles. I've got Star Trek Next Generation.
He's got it all.
Cadillacs and Dinosaurs, as I mentioned.
I'm already getting emails just
Aliens?
By you saying that.
Wow. That's amazing. From the future.
From the future, they're happening.
I like it.
So, and Adam, hopefully he will be back with us next show.
We can only hope that he'll have some sort of new appendage. Maybe he had some sort of elective surgery to add a tail. Who knows?
Well, we'll find out in a couple weeks. So, Jared, spin the ending music. Once again, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll be back in a few weeks with more Scope. See you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying au revoir. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.